There are certain passages of Scripture that mature as you mature. And Isaiah 40 is certainly a passage that younger people, stronger people, have more difficulty with, and that maybe makes more sense as we get older. When I was a young man and young in ministry, I realized that I could accomplish a lot just on personal will. My capabilities, what I can do with my body, was a lot more than what I can do now. And so I began to trust in my own ability to accomplish tasks. Strong people have a difficult time accepting faith. Strong people have a difficult time relying on God's providence. Strong people rely on our own strength to get the job done. And in many ways, we can accomplish the task that we put in front of ourselves. We learn how to accomplish something that will get the most bang for our time and our energy. We learn how to accomplish something that people will notice and that might get the attention of people and of crowds. But it doesn't do the work of God. Over time, what we realize is that we can exhaust ourselves accomplishing tasks, and that strong people, even strong people, have limits to their strength. Most importantly, we have limits to our understanding. And so we work and we push and we move mountains. But the mountains that we move are not the mountains that God wants moved. The tasks that we accomplish might make the world pay attention, but they don't transform the world into the image of God. We get our job done. But strong people do not have the strength to get God's job done. Faith demands that we give up our own strength and we give the weight of work to God. And because of that, faith exaggerates weakness. Let me explain that. When I say that faith exaggerates weakness, what I mean to say is that it is not that we are weak that we need to rely on God. It's that with God, our strength is made full. Our weakness becomes strong, and our strength becomes godly, supernatural, more than what we have. You see, God doesn't necessarily want you to be weak. But God wants you to realize that in comparison to God, the strongest are weak. So does God want you to be strong? Yes. But God wants your strength to be in God and not in yourself. In today's world, we find that the battles of strong men and women destroy and don't build. We've all had a ringside seat over the last several months and years at what happens when strong people run politics. We have strong men and women on both sides of the aisle. And all they are doing is fighting each other. You see, politics is the ultimate show of strength. Because politicians don't really care what they accomplish. They only care what they get recognized for accomplishing. So, we saw it at the State of the Union address. One side stands, the other side sits. Don't pretend for a moment that that's Republican or Democrat, because just a few years ago, it was the same on the other side, right? No one cares about the accomplishment. They only care about what they can name as their accomplishment. And so everything becomes about the battle and who's stronger and who's smarter and who wins. And the reality is no one truly cares about the nation or the people. What we see in politics in today's world is what happens when we take control of our own agendas, when we lead by our own strength. When we lead by our own strength, we have the ability to accomplish things. But those accomplishments serve self alone. They don't serve their weaker brother. They don't serve the nation. And most importantly, they don't serve God. Now, most of you see this and you shake your heads. And if you're like most people, you simply turn it off. You've grown sick and tired of the way the world works. But I want to warn you about something. Many in the church are deciding to step away and to jump off. We're seeking to check out. The problem is God doesn't want us to check out. You see, we're exhausted by what's happening in our world. But we're not done with the world. You see, God has embedded in our very basic prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught us, an understanding that this world is still important in God's kingdom and in God's expectation. Do you remember the Lord's Prayer? It simply says that we are supposed to bring the kingdom here. We're supposed to make sure, we're praying every day when we pray the Lord's Prayer, that God's kingdom will come to this earth. That God's will would be done on this earth as it is in heaven. See, we forget that. God's kingdom and God's will come if God answers our prayer. And so we cannot abandon the world and look to heavenly things. Because to do that isn't following what Jesus wants us to pray for. Jesus wants us to change the world. Now, what we need to do is stop trying to change the world with our own strength, our own tactics, and our own pettiness. We need to stop doing it the wrong way and start doing it God's way. You see, God doesn't want you to quit, but also God doesn't want you to continue to keep living like you have been. When Isaiah preaches in Isaiah 40, he tells us that even the princes are brought to naught, and God reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, than God blows on them and they wither. The rulers of this world do not have the strength, but God does. And God has given that strength through the power of the Holy Spirit to God's people. When you become sick and tired of the world, then it's time to pay attention to what God has for you to bring to this world. And the fundamental beginning of any knowledge of the will of God is to know that God is God. Several times in the passage of Scripture just read, you hear the questions, do you not know? Have you not heard? What Isaiah is saying is, don't you remember who we're talking about? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Do you hear that? Have you heard this? Do you know this? That God is bigger than presidents. God is bigger than courts. God is bigger than Congress. God is bigger than the leaders of any nation. God is the creator of this world. Every star in the sky, God has fashioned. And each breath that you take, God has given. Now, most of us are afraid because of what people can do. Because there are men and women that are messing up our world. I want to grant you that leaders do that, don't they? And I also want to make sure that you know this. They have been doing it for a long time. What we are seeing is not unique in the world. No matter how unique it might feel to us, we have endured Neros and Caligulas. We have endured people that were absolutely evil. We can put up with Trumps and Pelosis. God has given to us the ability to listen and follow God and not follow Dems, Republicans, or anyone else. The reality is simply this. God is on the throne. And when storms come, God has given to us an example in the eagle. In this passage, you hear about eagle's wings. Many of you know this passage from the song, the great hymn, Eagle's Wings. But what you might not understand is why eagle's wings are important. You see, when storms come, eagles don't nest. They rise. They actually pull above the storm clouds. And the eagle avoids the storms by flying above the clouds and the weather. The eagle uses its great strength in order to overcome the storms of life. When we talk about soaring with the strength of an eagle, it's soaring over, being above, not sheltering and weathering the storm, but rising above it. The Church of Jesus Christ has been asked to rise above the storms that we face today. And it's one of the most difficult things for us to do because we know that in our strength it can't be accomplished. So we seek solace in gathering together with people that are close to us in political parties or in other groups. And every time we do it, every time we try to put our faith and trust in a strength that is not divine, we fall victim to the storms of life. God has given us a strength that can endure and overcome. Have you not heard? Do you not understand that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. The work that we have before us is daunting, and it is impossible from our own strength. But the church doesn't have to rely on our own strength. The church has to rely on God's strength that endures. A strength that is deeper than anything that we can bring. When I was younger, I relied on my own strength. In today's world, as I get grayer and grayer, as someone shared with me earlier today, I realize that I can't do it on my own. I simply don't have the strength for it. I can't endure in the way I used to. I used to be, as a young man, able to work 20, 30 hours, you know, in a two-day period. I can't tell you how many times I would go 15, 15, 15. I would knock out 40 hours a week by Wednesday. And then it was a matter of how many other hours I was going to put in. There were times when I didn't take a day off for months because there was more work to be done. And I would grow exhausted and weary and angry and bitter. I've learned that I have to take time. I have to step away. I have to rely on God's strength. And relying on God's strength also means relying on other people to help lift the weight. It means asking other people to help you. It means stepping back so that other people might serve. It means making sure that the entirety of the world doesn't revolve around you and your word, but it's all about God in Jesus Christ. You see, I would love to support politicians of any stripe, but I would like if they would at some point give credit to other people. And I would love it if someone would occasionally glorify God. It would be good if people would rely on God's strength and not on their own. But let me give you a little hint, church. The world is never going to do what the church doesn't in Jesus Christ. You are the leaders. No matter what they say, no matter how much power we might give to those people in Washington, the church leads in following God. If we don't do it, no one else will. We are the example to the world around us. And God has given us a full understanding that my grace, that God's grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weakness. This is what Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians, that our strength is in God, in Jesus Christ. And Jesus has told us that his grace is sufficient for you, and the power of God is made perfect in your weakness. You see, when I preach, when I teach, when I act in my own strength, then all you get is Dan. But when I act in God's strength, you get Jesus. Now, what would you rather have? Would you rather have Dan, or would you rather have Jesus? Super Dan. Right? Let's be honest. Each of you can be super. But not because of your own strength, because of God living in you. I've joked with you a lot before about the idea that somehow when we get to heaven, no one's going to ask, "Hey, do you know Dan? Hey, do you know?" Because a lot of people operate as if that were the gospel, that somehow knowing someone who knows Jesus is important. People come to me and say, my grandmother was a member of this church, and so I feel close to the church. It doesn't work like that. You've got to know Jesus, don't you? Are you showing people your own strength, or are you showing people Jesus? If you're going to woo them to the Lord, then it's through showing them Jesus in your life. Now, this isn't just important for the church, it's important for the nation. We've got to remember that our foundations were that we were Christian. Now, whether we were Christian functionally or whether we were Christian by word, by a constitutional understanding, the reality is the people of this nation were good and godly. And because of that, our leadership were more likely to be good and godly because that's who we were sending. De Tocqueville, the French philosopher who came to see what was going on in America, wrote that America is great because America is good. And if America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. If you read de Tocqueville, you'll know that what he was studying was the church, and that the church was making a difference because the church was communicating Jesus Christ on the frontier and in the towns of America. There's always room to improve, and there's always sin in the community. But if we rely on God's grace, we can be better than who we are. My prayer for you is that you will embrace the hope for tomorrow in Jesus Christ, that you will know that you won't abandon the nation, that you won't abandon our system, but that you will pray for your leaders, that you will pray to be a better leader in your home, in your community, in your church, and that it, with maturity, you will rely on God's strength to make you powerful, for God's will to be done. In a moment, we're going to join together at the table. We're a small group today, and so it's going to be easy to have communion. But I want to make sure you know something. What goes into communion is not how many people are served, but whether the people of God know what they're doing. These aren't magic pills, and this isn't an elixir that gives you super strength. This isn't spinach to Popeye. What this is it's a communicating a yes to God. When we join together at the communion table, once again, we eat and drink a covenant of faithfulness to God. We say yes to God, that Jesus is Lord, and that we will follow. We receive God with the understanding that we serve God in all that we do. And I want you to prayerfully accept and say yes to God's wooing once again today. Some people say, well, we don't need to say yes again. You know what? Every time I look at my wedding ring, I remember my yes to my wife. It's a yes that's important. And believe it or not, vows need to be renewed. We need to remember once again because we too easily forget. Every time we come to the table, we renew our vow in Jesus Christ. And we say yes once again. In a moment, you're going to join us at the table. And as a church, we will say a resounding yes to Jesus as we seek to serve and as we seek to find strength in God and God alone. If you have the strength of the Lord in your life, if you have the Spirit of God and you're flying with the wings of an eagle, then I am thankful to God. If you're not, then I ask that you would put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. For some of you, the first step needs to be taken. You need to be accepting Jesus as your Savior. But remember, that's only the first step. Many of us collapse at that end of that first step. We think it's enough, but it isn't. We need to renew our strength every day. It's not good enough to make the team. You've got to help the team win to make the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. And at that point, you have to surrender to God and allow God to work in your life. This is called discipleship. That daily movement as we get closer to God and as we strive to do God's will for ourselves and for others. Each step we take is a step that serves God and each other. Let's commit ourselves to the Lord and as we bow and pray as we continue to worship. Lord God, you've given to us the opportunity to be renewed every day. Through your Spirit, you give us strength. Through your Spirit, you give us newness in life. You continue to help us soar. You continue to move. You continue to strengthen the weak. And Lord God, those who you have given gifts and skills can become superhuman in your sight and by your will. Lord God, we live in a world that doesn't hear your voice as easily as it should. And we ask that you would help to raise your voice in the people of God. Help us to do your will, to share your love, and to give your peace through the Spirit of God that resides in us and that strengthens your church. And we pray it all in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. As we sing our communion hymn, we'll prepare the table and we'll invite you to join us in just a moment.